Evidences of Discipleship, Nashville, Tennessee, December 17, 1901. What evidence are we to give to angels and men that we are Christ's disciples? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. If self-denial and cross-bearing are the sign that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, let us zealously deny self and keep our eyes fixed on our leader, bearing the cross after him. Be sure to behold Christ, for thus you will be changed into his image. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5, verse 13. Those who are purified through a belief of the truth possess qualities that have an influence for good upon all with whom they are brought in contact. Thus many are to be saved from corruption and death. God help those who know the truth to seek for the preservative qualities brought into the life when Christ abides in the heart. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15, verse 4-12. Speaking again of this love, Christ said, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 34-35. Why did Christ call this a new commandment? Because the disciples had not loved one another as he had loved them, and they had not yet seen the crowning act in his sacrifice of love. The command to love one another had a new meaning in the light of his sacrifice. With his long human arm, Christ embraces the human race, claiming for them the advantages he has purchased for them by his sacrifice. What are these advantages? Read the 17th chapter of John. When you are tempted and tried, think of the power you can claim in Christ's name. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 12. The Savior knew that Judas was to betray him. Yet how guarded he was in dealing with him, how careful to give him no occasion of offense, no excuse for apostasy. We are to reveal Christ-like compassion, Christ-like sympathy, Christ-like love, for all for whom Christ has died. It is our duty and privilege to do all in our power to save those who are perishing in sin. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. For their sakes, he declared, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 17, verse 19. God calls upon men and women to become his sons and daughters, that through them, his adopted children, he may reveal his grace to the world. He who is converted to God, through faith made a partaker of the divine nature, is set apart to do the work of him who gave his life for the life of the world. The converted soul is not a sluggard, but an earnest, faithful worker. He is one of Christ's chosen instrumentalities for the saving of others. He is filled with the same spirit of soul-saving that inspired the Savior. He is a laborer together with God. He has the same earnestness, the same fervor, that led Christ to work so untiringly for the perishing. He is made a partaker of Christ's sufferings and of his great love, and he becomes a part of his working force for the saving of sinners. Those in whose hearts the Word of God abides will use every power they have in doing the work Christ did. Every one who has received the message of Christ's love has a work to do. Upon every Christian rests the responsibility of reflecting a light of heaven to those in darkness. Each follower of the Savior is to proclaim the glad tidings of salvation through grace. No one is to fail of living the truth he has received. Christ says to his followers, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 16. The words of the Christian are to be carefully chosen. His deportment is to be above reproach. It is the revealing of the goodness of Christ's character that has a decided influence for good on all with whom he is brought in contact. The Lord is our captain, our leader. We are to bear his banner and wear the armor he provides. We are to strive to win his enemies to be his friends. Not till he lays his armor at the feet of the Redeemer is the Christian to relax his watchful, prayerful efforts. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Ever remember that all your capabilities, all your possessions, are the Lord's, to be used and improved in his service. Remember that all the means you have is given you by God. Use it to glorify his holy name. Use it wisely and economically, because it is a sacred trust. I ask those who have been entrusted with the Lord's money to work unselfishly for the Master. Do not tie up your money in estates or banks when there is such need that it be put in circulation to advance the Lord's work. Remember that your money is yours only on trust. Strive to realize the responsibility resting on you. Great light has been given us. Let us work to the utmost of our ability to give this light to others by giving of our means to send workers into new fields. Thus we advance God's work in our world. He who is truly converted will feel it a privilege to give of his means to send the truth to the dark places of the earth. God asks, "Why are there not established in the cities memorials for me?" What answer can we return? The neglected work in our cities testifies to the lack of Christ-like energy among believers. Let all awaken to the need of establishing Christian missions in the cities. Let God's workers enter the doors that he has opened for them. Believers need to arouse and do much more than they are doing in lines of Christian effort. Christ's commission is, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teaching means vastly more than sermonizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18-20. Let God's people show that they believe these words. Fulfilling the Savior's commission, they are to be a working power through all time. Have we light? Then let it shine forth to those in darkness. Tell the Savior that you are doing his bidding, and then believe that he will fulfill the word, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Verse 20. Mark's testimony is, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Mark 16, verse 19-20. Our work is plainly outlined by the work of Christ and the work of his disciples after his ascension. We are not at liberty to sit with folded hands, waiting for someone to lead us to fields of labor and set us at work. Those who have a knowledge of the truth are to go forth in the name of the Lord, believing every word Christ has spoken and looking to him for grace and strength. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2, verse 5-15. If a man does not walk in humility before God, his profession of religion is a farce. Those who refuse to walk and work in the lines that Christ has marked out are a hindrance, not a help.